Which sin is the worst?
Which sin is the worst? Are some sins worse than others? Are all sins equal? This question has come up many times in our class throughout the years. Maybe you've pondered over this question also. Do we judge certain sins more harshly than other sins, depending on our personal experiences or conviction of what we think may be worse? To begin with, we will look at a few different lists of sins from God's Word, and we'll be thinking, as we listen to those words, which we may believe would be the worst sin. Secondly, I would like to share my personal story with you of how the Lord called me from a worldly, gross, and sinful condition. Lastly, I would like to share my conclusion as to which sin I believe the scriptures show is the worst sin. So let's look at some of those lists. Proverbs 6:16-19. There are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven, which are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. Next, let's look at Romans 1:29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10 reads, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Next, Galatians 5:19-21. "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Do any of those sins stand out to you to be the worst sin? Let's take a look at the Strong's definition for sin. In the Old Testament, Strong's number 2398 means to miss, to sin. In the New Testament, Strong's number 264 means to miss the mark. Based on its definition, can you miss the mark more with some sins than others? We will answer that at the end. I would like to begin sharing with you my personal story. My personal story, part one, the innocence. I believe God was guiding and protecting me in my life at a very early age. As a young boy, raised to be good, to go to Sunday school in the Methodist church, I learned God is love and his son was Jesus. I never believed in the Trinity or hellfire. Innocence can see through lies. I had a personal prayer life with God. I remember the greatest feeling in my life was helping people. At church, my dad was the choir director, and I was a choir boy. When I was asked to sing a solo once, I prayed to God and said, "This is for you, not for them." Because I was called John as a boy, I would often open my Bible and read the books of John. I realized with awe at a very young age in elementary school that there was something more to life, something bigger. I saw many of what I believed were overrulings from God happening in my life. One thing that really upset me about church was in their bulletin on the back cover. They would list the largest financial contributors to the church. I thought, that should be a private thing between them and God. My dad's name was on that list, and I questioned him why they list the names, and that's when I learned that he was paid to direct the choir, and donating was a way for him to give back to the church. It hurt my heart to learn that he was getting paid to do something for God. But I was glad he was giving back. God knows and protects those who later in their lives would heed the call and follow in Jesus' footsteps. God knows the beginning from the end. Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember also thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them. Do you remember in the book of Job the conversation that God had with Satan about Job in Job 1:8 through 12? Remember, Brother Peter referred to this yesterday. Well, I would like to think, what if God had a conversation about me? In my imagination, it may have gone something like this. Have you noticed my dear one, Jonathan, his innocence? He loves to help people, and he has a heart for me. And Satan says, yeah, cute kid. I noticed your protection over him, but I'm curious. He's just a kid. How do you know he will be loyal to you his whole life? God responds, he is mine, but feel free to try to turn him. It won't work. He will be true. Satan replies, oh yeah? We'll see about that. You know, brethren, obviously I have a very vivid imagination. Where were you when you were being drawn by God and eventually called? What were some of your personal battles over certain sins? Are they still your personal battles, or have you overcome them? For clarity, brethren, obviously as a young boy, I could see the Lord's hand and protection in my life, but I don't believe, though, I was being called at that time. 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 28. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things, that would be me, of the world, and the despised God has chosen, and the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are. Why would God call such damaged and weak ones as sons? Well, the answer is in the very next words in verse 29. So that no man may boast before God. Brethren, we are all unworthy. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Obviously, God can read the heart and can see past our sinful state to know if we have value and potential for his son in the kingdom. Have you ever thought about your battle over your sins and the value that they will bring to the kingdom in helping the world of mankind? Next, let's talk about specific sins. Due to time constraints today, we'll compare just three sins to see if one is worse than the others. Number one, murder. Number two, immoralities. Number three, evil speaking. Which sin is the worst? First, we look at the sin of murder. Murder. That's kind of hard to wrap your head around since most of us can't relate to such a sin. So, does taking someone's life make it the worst sin? Could anyone who has committed murder be one of the church class? Is this a sin so heinous that it would not be possible? God forbid. No, God allow. Let's look at an example in the scriptures on how God actually allowed this. Acts 7:58 through Acts 8:3, just parts of those verses. When they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him, and the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of the young man named Saul. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Saul was in hearty agreement with and putting him to death. But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house and dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison. Was Saul in this experience culpable in the murder of Stephen? Yes, he was. It was his command. So yes, even one who commits murder can still be of the church class. To know and feel true regret and to walk in the world's shoes, no matter how humbling our experiences bring us, is required to be sympathetic for our future work in the kingdom. Can you picture in your minds the reunion of Paul and Stephen in 1878? What might Stephen have said? "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." "Paul, you use that experience to motivate your constant faithfulness. Thank you, brother, for blessing so many." Is murder the worst in the list of sins? Let's wait and see. While I wasn't a murderer, I can tell you about my experience with sin. Continuing with my personal story, part two, ignorance. My three sisters and I were raised to be competitive, to be the best and win at everything. It began with sports, music, and then ended up in areas that were not good. For instance, my introduction to beer in high school. How much and how fast? How sad. That's competition for you. Brethren, I just want to apologize for the bluntness of my story, but it's the truth. One evening in high school at a basketball game, two guys asked me, "Do you party?" I said, "Yes." And I thought up to myself, "Sure, I drink." Well, that's not what was meant by their question. And I found out very quickly in their car. I thought, "I'll just pretend and they won't notice." But they did. Brethren, due to peer pressure, that started an almost 9-year downfall of an almost constant state of being high. 9 years. I squeaked by in high school and summer school just to pass. And after college, my associate's degree was a waste. I didn't care. Life was a party. Even though I was a selfish and a degenerate, I still saw God's overrulings in my life in dramatic fashion, but I won't go into that now. I began a music career with a friend from high school, and we played at nightclubs, and I lived in a rock and roll fantasy. Drugs went from mild to stronger, as it always does. I met a girl that partied even more than I did. My life consisted of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. We married for all the wrong reasons. My few friends tried to talk me out of marrying her, but I didn't listen. After 6 months, she left me for a man, a drug dealer. How many people in the world have addictions? It could be drugs, alcohol, sex, food. I had mine. Addiction is an epidemic that needs to be cured in the kingdom with the help of the more than overcomers that fought their own personal demons. Back to the imaginary conversation with God and Satan. Brethren, in my mind, I really see Satan capitalizing on my ignorance. Satan: "So God, how do you like Jonathan now? Where was that innocent boy you showed me? I've got him, and there's no turning him around. This was way too easy." God says, I know deep down inside he will find his way back. Satan replies, I don't think so. I've got him just where I want him. He's like putty in my hands. Where were you when you were drawn by God? What were some of your personal battles and experiences with sin? Are they still a battle, or have you overcome them? Brethren, it's important to remind yourselves of the personal battlefield. Not all of us came from the world with such awful experiences. Some were raised in the truth and were sheltered. But you can benefit by learning from the struggles of some of your brethren so you can sympathize with the world in the kingdom. Back to the list of the three sins. Murder, immoralities, evil speaking. Which is the worst sin? Next, we'll consider the sin of immorality, which is very fitting for my own personal story. What does immorality look like? It could look like adultery, fornication, impurity, sensuality. These include pornographic addiction and virtual sex, which is out of control in our world today. Could anyone who committed these sins be of the church class? Is this sin so disgusting that they would be disqualified? Is immorality the worst sin? Murder is the furthest of the three sins that we can relate to. Immorality can touch us all in many different ways. Could anyone who is living in this evil mire be of the elect? God forbid. No, God allow. Why? How could the church ever sympathize with those in the kingdom if none had to fight these sins and temptations themselves? Let's look at an example. We will use 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1, 5, and 11. It is actually reported that there is immorality among you, an immorality of such a kind as does not exist even among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, this brother in Christ, he did not know right from wrong. He was clearly out of line. Verse 11, but actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is an immoral person or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. The Apostle Paul responded to the church of Corinth when his brother reformed. 2 Corinthians 2, 6 through 8. Sufficient for such a one is this punishment which was inflicted by the majority, so that on the contrary, you should rather forgive and comfort him. Otherwise, such a one might be overwhelmed by the excessive sorrow. Wherefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love for him. Here we have a full reinstatement in the body of Christ. He learned and showed fruits of repentance. Brethren, based on Paul's forgiveness, we believe this brother recovered from his immoral circumstances and he moved forward. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. So, brethren, such were some of you. This is validation that our experiences and our trials have great value. I love the manna comment from April 28th, taken from reprint 3238. We have need of patience, and that can be gained by trials. We have need of faith, and that can only be developed by necessities. We have need of experience for our future work, which can be gained only by such experiences which permit us to be touched with the feelings of the infirmities and difficulties and trials of those about us, to whom we shall be ministers and representatives when we reach the throne. For us then, the lesson of present experience is to resist evil, and not with evil, but with good. We read in 1 Peter 1:13 through 16, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" Are immoralities the worst sins on the list? A lot of brethren seem to think so. Are they? We'll get back to that. Back to my past immoral and careless life. Part three of my story, hitting bottom. The devastation of being cheated on is like being torn in half. I hit bottom. Feelings of anger, revenge, suicide. Hate swirled over and over in my mind. I was broken, worthless, empty, and alone. I did some major soul searching and I realized I needed God. For 3 months, I prayed intensely with tears, asking the Lord for direction. Let's return to my imaginary conversation with God and Satan. Satan, "Oh my, he is worthless, of no use to anyone, especially to you. Sorry about that." "No, not really. I don't mean to rub it in, but I'm done here." God says, "He will sing to me again. Just wait. I will never forsake or leave him, for when he calls, I will answer." Where were you when you were drawn by God and eventually being called? What were some of your personal battles with your experience with sin? Maybe you've learned through your experiences or from the experience of others. Now back to our list of three sins. Number one, murder. This is far from us. It's a big sin and clearly defined. Number two, immoralities. We can relate to this more since they touch us on many different levels. Number three, evil speaking. Here's one that can touch us all, and has, either with saying things we shouldn't or listening to the improper words of others. With murder, Saul committed it before he was called. With immorality, the brother in 1 Corinthians, well, his immoral behavior happened after he was called. With the evil speaking, it can happen when we least expect it. And listening to evil speaking can be just as bad and is still considered gossip. Evil speaking, slander, gossiping. The tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Who can tame it? When you speak evil and gossip about someone, whether it is true or not, the damage is done and it can't ever be taken back. In this world of social media where hate and evil are being encouraged, you have the right and are entitled to say whatever you want, no matter who gets hurt. The world is broken and needs those who are more than overcomers to prove that evil speaking can be done away with God's help. Can a follower of Christ engaged in evil speaking make their calling and election sure if they are murdering someone's reputation? God forbid. No, God allow. How? As an example, in 2 Corinthians 10:3, remember when certain brethren were evil speaking about Paul and other brethren, accusing them as though they were walking according to the flesh. obviously they were slandering Paul and the brethren with him. The lesson for us: we must overcome our wrong attitudes towards others, because wrong attitudes can lead to evil speaking. James 1:26, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. James 4:11. Do not speak against one another, brethren. Proverbs 20:19. He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip. Evil speaking seems to be the most common sin, but does that make it any less of a sin? It is murdering someone's reputation. Isn't that interesting? This brings us full circle back to number one, murder. Can evil speaking be the worst in the list of sins? We need to be careful not to destroy our brethren in evil speaking. 1 Samuel 24:6. David is speaking to his men about King Saul. So he said to his men, far be it from me, because of the Lord, that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, since he is the Lord's anointed. Not harming the Lord's anointed. What a powerful lesson taught by David. He was anointed. He had every right for kingship, but would not fall back to his natural ways of fighting and hurt one of the Lord's anointed, King Saul. Evil speaking cannot only hurt the person slandered, but it can also hurt the one doing the evil speaking. Brethren, I am so thankful for Sister Jewel's example in my life, and her not bringing up or complaining about my weaknesses, faults, and sins to others in a personal or public forum. We should not talk with others about our spouse's faults. That shows a lack of respect and appreciation, which can literally destroy a marriage. And if your spouse is consecrated, then it is against the Lord's anointed. Protecting each other's character shows love. If someone comes to you in a proper way, as in Matthew 18, and shares a concern or a problem, how do you receive it? With humility or with pride? Do you work on the wrong condition that was brought to your attention, or do you not accept the reproof and run away because you feel you're right and they're wrong? Remember what happened to Jonah when he ran and hid. When we are humiliated because of our sins, do we run? If so, the Lord will give us difficult experiences for a wake-up call, and hopefully we will realize we need the brethren's forgiveness, support, prayers, and love, and the way God designed the reliance on the body of Christ. As the scripture says, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Your brethren are your biggest fans. Continuing with my personal story, this is my favorite part. Part 4, needing direction. Over 33 years ago, the Lord answered my plea for direction. He arranged and overruled that I get together with one of my sister's friends. Unbeknownst to me, she was a consecrated Bible student and knew of my situation. The first thing she asked me was, what do you think about the word hell in the Bible? My answer was, well, if God is love, he wouldn't hurt anybody. Her next question, why do you think God permits evil? I had no clue. I received the most amazing 5-minute explanation. I was so excited that we went right back to her mother's house and studied. Later, this led to me attending a young people's first volume study, which they started over from the beginning just for me. I went home and read the book in one night. This was what I was waiting for my entire life. Soon after, I started attending the Wilmington, Delaware Ecclesia. God knew this experience of a dark, lowly, and sick life was needed so I could later seek his face, want to change, and find a purpose from the empty shell I had become, and use what I learned to be a blessing to others now and in the kingdom. Let's drop back into my imaginary conversation with God and Satan. Satan, I don't understand. I had him right where I wanted him, miserable. How? God says, train up in a child in a way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. He is now fully mine. My power and influence are within him. But now, through his experiences and weaknesses, thanks to you, Satan, he is more valuable to me than ever. All things work together for good. Lesson for us. We all struggle. We all have weaknesses, just as the Apostle Paul said in Romans 7, 14 through 18. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is the sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. If the Apostle Paul had such battles from within, it gives us courage to keep battling like he did. How do the brethren put up with us after coming into the body of Christ when we're a big mess like I was? How do these weak ones learn right from wrong? Well, by the examples around them. For me, an early example was shortly after coming into the truth, I moved to Connecticut from Delaware and lived in the home of Brother Richard and Sister Anna Mae Sarasi for 6 months. I witnessed what a consecrated home and marriage were all about. It was just what I needed. How do those weak ones learn right from wrong? Is it instantaneous? No, it takes time. How much time does it take? It depends on the individual. Do the brethren expect perfection of others immediately? I hope not. Is this a restitution picture of the world in advance of the kingdom? I think so. Thank you, brethren, for your patience, forbearance, and love for babes in Christ. Here's another question. Is it easier to keep down natural tendencies after you are called? No. The Apostle Paul showed us that. Do they automatically disappear when you're spirit begotten? No, they don't. Can we have relapses? Yes, of course. But our hope is, as we mature in Christ, they become few and far between until we can overcome them by God's grace. Will our Heavenly Father give us wake-up calls when we do slip back to some of our old ways or habits? Of course he will, because he loves us. No matter how humbling or shameful it is, it will be what we need to reset and to never want to go back ever again to those old tendencies and draw closer more than ever to our Heavenly Father for forgiveness and strength to carry on. Those wake-up calls can be turning points for greater faithfulness to never return to those sins and to be more sympathetic towards others. What do you do to guard yourself from personal weaknesses, whether big or small? We should put up barriers and hedges to restrain ourselves from temptations, weaknesses, or falling into old ways. Jewel and I set up family rules to help each other, like no ice cream in the freezer. Now, let's answer this question about which sin is worse. I believe the answer is found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 4. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And verse 4, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. All sin is wrong, but which sin is the worst? The sin that so easily besets us, besets me, and besets you. The sin that's in you is the worst sin. Not the sin in others. You for yours, and me for mine. If you are to be faithful, you must weed out the sin within you. If your focus is not in the right place, you lose. To be more than an overcomer means you get to the point of hating the sin within you and loving righteousness. As it's stated in Hebrews 1 verse 9, you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. Few are chosen. Again, Hebrews 12, verse 4, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. Brethren, when you're home, make a list of your sins or weaknesses in private and ask the Lord to reveal what you need to work on. Make a plan, set up barriers, and keep battling. To God be the glory.